Welcome to Music History Monday for October 28th, 2019. I'm Bob Greenberg, and the title for today's podcast is His Own Requiem. We would acknowledge two date-appropriate musical events before moving on to the pierogi and potatoes of this post. On October 28th, 1896, 123 years ago today, the American composer, conductor, and educator Howard Hanson was born in Wahoo, Nebraska. For an up-close and personal on Maestro Hanson and his Symphony No. 2, the so-called Romantic, I would direct your attention to my Dr. Bob Prescribes post of March 19th of this year. It can be found at my subscription site at patreon.com/RobertGreenbergMusic. On October 28th, 1957, 62 years ago today, Elvis, the pelvis, Presley's groin, was once again in the news. Having performed a show at the Pan Pacific Auditorium in Los Angeles, Presley was informed by the Los Angeles Police Department that he would no longer be permitted to, quote, wiggle his hips on stage, unquote. The local press made its two cents known when headlines demanded that Elvis, quote, clean up his act, unquote. The following night, October 29, 1957, the Los Angeles Vice Squad filmed Elvis's entire show at the Pan Pacific Auditorium, the better to study the details of his performance. Did the LA police and the local press realize that by their actions and statements, they guaranteed Elvis standing room only audiences at his subsequent appearances? Presley's agent, Colonel Tom Parker, must have been rubbing his hands together in unalloyed glee. You cannot buy publicity like that. Then again, Parker himself might have been behind the whole thing. On to today's primary topic. We celebrate, on October 28, 1893, 126 years ago today, the first performance of Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 6, The Pathetique, in St. Petersburg, with Tchaikovsky conducting. Tchaikovsky's sixth was his final symphony and is considered by consensus to be his greatest symphony and among his finest masterworks. Composed between February and the end of August of 1893, Tchaikovsky himself, typically self-critical to a fault, believed the symphony to be his best. While composing it, he wrote his brother Modeste, quote, I am now wholly occupied with the new work, and it is hard for me to tear myself away from it. I believe it comes into being as the best of my works. I must finish it as soon as possible, for I have to wind up a lot of affairs, and I must soon go to London. I told you that I had completed a symphony which suddenly displeased me, and I tore it up. Now I have composed a new symphony, which I certainly will not tear up. Unquote. By 1892, at the age of 52, Tchaikovsky had attained a level of fame rarely accorded a living artist. He was celebrated and honored everywhere he went. He was awarded an honorary doctorate from Cambridge University. He received standing ovations from audiences and, like some musical pope or godfather, was kissed on the hand by musicians. Of the many triumphs and anecdotes of these last years of his life, one stands out in particular. In January of 1892, Tchaikovsky traveled to Hamburg, there to conduct a performance of his opera, Eugene Onegin. With only one rehearsal allocated to the opera, which was to be sung in German, Tchaikovsky wisely decided to bow out and hand the baton over to the local conductor, a man, Tchaikovsky wrote, quote, of genius, with a burning desire to conduct the performance, unquote. This man of genius was the young Gustav Mahler, who conducted what Tchaikovsky called a, quote, positively superb rendering of my score," unquote. Tchaikovsky dedicated his Symphony No. 6 to his nephew, Vladimir Davidov, who was born in 1871. He was the son of Tchaikovsky's sister Sasha and her husband Lev, and he was known by the rather unlikely nickname of Bob. As unlikely as would be for yours truly to be called Vlad. The homosexual Tchaikovsky adored Bob to the point of obsession. By the time he, Bob, was 13, Tchaikovsky was haunted by Bob and filled with guilty longings for him. A few random excerpts from Tchaikovsky's diary entries dating to the summer of 1884 paint the picture. Bob was 13 years old. Quote, May 7th, "I feasted my eyes all day on Bob. How utterly ravishing he looks in his white suit." May 8th, "Bob walked with me in the garden, then came to my room. Oh, what a delight Bob is." May 9th, "Ah, what a perfect being Bob is." May 10th, "A stroll with Bob. What a little darling he is." May 13th, "Before supper, to his great delight, I played piano duets with my darling, incomparable, wonderful, ideal Bob." May 23, "Strange dreams last night, wandering around with Bob." May 24th, "In the end, Bob will drive me mad with his unspeakable charms." Unquote. Yeah, this should make us all a bit uncomfortable. And while it's clear that nothing sexually untoward ever occurred between nephew and uncle, it's also clear that Bob shared his uncle's sexual proclivities. This helps to explain the extraordinary bond between the two, which only continued to develop as Bob passed through his teens. Tchaikovsky wrote his nephew, quote, "You are constantly in my thoughts. Through every dark sensation, whether grief, melancholy, or anguish, whatever the cloud of my mental horizon, comes a piercing ray of light with the thought that you exist and that I shall soon see you again." Unquote. It was to Bob that Tchaikovsky first revealed the conception and gestation of his Sixth Symphony. Again, we quote Tchaikovsky. "While on my travels, I had another idea for a symphony, a program work this time, but its program will remain a conundrum to everyone. Let them guess at it. This program is imbued with subjectivity. While composing it in my thoughts, I often wept a great deal. Then I began writing drafts, and the work was as heated as it was rapid. In less than 4 days, I completed the first movement, and the remaining movements were outlined in my head. There will be much that is new in this symphony where form is concerned, one point being that the finale will not be a loud allegro, but the reverse, a most unhurried adagio. You cannot imagine the bliss I feel after becoming convinced that time has not yet run out and that it is still possible to work." Unquote. On April 5th, 1893, Tchaikovsky completed the sketch of his Symphony No. 6. He inscribed on the last page, quote, "O Lord, I thank thee. Today I have completed the sketches in their entirety." Unquote. The orchestration was completed on August 31st, 1893. And as we previously observed, Tchaikovsky dedicated the symphony to Bob. In a letter to the dedicatee, Tchaikovsky wrote, quote, "If this symphony is misunderstood and torn to shreds, I shall think it quite normal and not at all surprising. It will not be the first time, but I myself absolutely believe it to be the best and especially the most sincere of all my works. I love it as I have never loved any single one of my other musical creations." Unquote. Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 6 was premiered in St. Petersburg on Saturday, October 28, 1893. While Tchaikovsky was greeted rapturously by the audience, his entrance provoked a sustained standing ovation. The symphony was not. On departing the hall, Tchaikovsky reportedly remarked that he expected the Moscow premiere of the symphony, scheduled to take place in 3 weeks, quote, to go better, unquote. Who would have guessed that in just 9 days Tchaikovsky would be dead? Tchaikovsky's sudden, utterly unexpected death on November 6, 1893, remains a controversial subject one will no doubt discuss at another time. The fourth and final movement of Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony begins with an anguished cry of pain and concludes with what many have interpreted as a death rattle and the nothingness of death. From the moment of his death, the temptation to explain this music as Tchaikovsky's premonition of his impending doom has been, for some good people, irresistible. They have described the symphony as a suicide note, as Tchaikovsky's requiem to himself. This is complete nonsense. For all of his emotional self-indulgence, Tchaikovsky was terrified by the subject of death, and he avoided it like a cold sore. According to his old friend, Hermann LaRoche, quote, he, Tchaikovsky, had an uncommon dread of death and everything to do with it. He feared anything that even hinted of death, so much so that one could not use any words like coffin, grave, funeral, or so forth in his presence, unquote. Adding to the misunderstanding of the symphony is the nickname that Tchaikovsky himself appended to it. He called it Patetishiskaya, which means literally the passionate or the emotional symphony. But in the West, Patetishiskaya was incorrectly translated into the French pathétique, which means pathetic, something that causes feelings of sadness, grief, or sympathy. Today's colloquial definition of pathetic as something unsuccessful, worthless, or useless does not apply. We can only wish that Tchaikovsky could have been present at the second performance of the symphony, which was given in his honor in St. Petersburg on November 18, 1893, 12 days after his death, and conducted by Eduard Napravnik. The audience response that night to the symphony was volcanic, and so it has remained to this day. For lots more on Tchaikovsky, I would direct your attention to my great master's biography, produced by The Great Courses, which is available for examination and download at robertgreenbergmusic.com. Thank you.